Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. With me is Sonny Shipp. We just finished up previewing the offensive side of the ball for spring ball. And now for the Tigers, we turn our attention to the defensive side of the ball, which really saw wholesale changes on the defensive staff, save for Corey Raymond. New defensive coordinator Durante Jones takes over, along with linebackers coach Blake Baker and Andre Carter, the new defensive line coach. And we are going to talk about Andre Carter's group, because this is another group coming off of our preview of the offensive line that returns every starter out of the group. And from what we've been hearing and what we saw, I think this group, out of anyone or out of any group on the Tigers, I think they have really, from top to bottom, the potential to be the best. I really do. And I don't know how you feel, Sonny, but Andre Anthony, Ollie Gay, BJ Ojulari, Glenn Logan, Neil Farrell, Jaquelin Roy, Jacoby Guillory, not to mention guys like Mason Smith and Savion Jones and these 2021 signees coming in, and just a lot of talent out there for Andre Carter to take and mold alongside Ed Ogeron. And this could be the group that really sets the tone for how this defense performs in 2021.
Yeah, I agree. And not only do they have all their starters back and people who play, you know, and most of who played, but when you go back and when you look at it, really the only person that they lost was Apu Aika when he hit the transfer portal and went to Baylor. Outside of that, and then of course Travez Moore got a little play in time. He's now at Arizona State. But, you know, everyone else is back, and that's a lot to work with. And when you go through and when you look at the defensive end and the defensive tackle, especially the defensive tackle position, LSU is deeper there than Ed Orgeron has ever been, really since he has even been the defensive line coach at LSU. And so he and Andre Carter just have a lot to work with. And, you know, I touched this on the offensive line, and it applies here on the defensive line. If Glenn Logan and Neil Farrell, if they take returning for their senior year and their opportunity to make a splash, to be able to play football on Sundays after this season, then it's now or never. It's time to, you know, whether it's the Jenny Craig, the P90X, I don't know what it is, the Beachbody on demand, but it is time to get in shape. It's time to slim up. Both of them need to drop about 35 or 40 pounds, in my opinion, to be able to get that quickness to play on the interior, and to be those difference makers that they were coming out of high school. And if they do that, you know, if Neil Farrell gets back to that form he had in 2019 when he led LSU's defensive linemen in sacks that year, you know, if Glenn Logan can get things together and really, really start to, you know, live up to the potential he had coming out of Strahan, and LSU's defensive line can be an absolute force in 2021. You know, it all boils down to how, you know, to the work that they put in, obviously in the early part of the offseason, but more important than that, it, you know, this spring and then this summer, because, you know, both of them, if they don't get their act together, then they're going to be passed up, because Jaquelin Roy put everybody on notice last year when the light really started to come on over the second half of the season. And he's going to be an absolute beast. Jacoby and Guillory had injury problems last year, but that guy's going to be a beast too. And then we've already heard about the splash that Mason Smith has made since he's gotten on campus in January. So those youngsters are going to really push those older guys, or they're going to push those older guys to the side.
I don't even know if we need to record the rest of the podcast. Look, I think you nailed it. And for me, I look at BJ Ojulari. Can he challenge Andre Anthony and take that spot? Ali Gay, can he take another step forward? Remember how down people were on taking Ali Gay? He was such a great surprise for Ed Ogeron and this team in 2020. Then Jaquelin Roy, I think he's one of my guys that I think you've got to watch him as far as breaking out. Jacobian Guillory is the one that you mentioned there, and he's disruptive when he's healthy, and he battled injuries all last year, only played in one game, and it was against Alabama, and he got nicked up, you know, right there. And if he's healthy, if he's ready to go, I mean, you got to think, you know, a Glenn Logan is really going to be pushed by him because he is so strong at the point of attack. He's got some underrated athleticism. He can really flip his hips, the power lifting, the shot put. I mean, he's what you look for. He was so dominant. I remember that week at All-American Bowl that he shot up way up into the top 100 because of that. And, you know, that's the type of guy that I think when healthy, that's his potential. That's who he can be. And I do think there are spots up for grabs on his defensive line. I mean, if the younger guys have the type of spring that they have, it could set the tone for two new starters, I think at most, probably week one against UCLA. But the thing, and that you nailed it very, very well, Sonny, is the defensive line under Ed Ogeron, and especially some of those early classes and the ones early in, I think his first class when he was head coach, there were some defensive linemen that you kind of, by the time they left, you were kind of scratching your head and saying, why were they there in the first place? I mean, no disrespect to them, but you know, I think the class of like Davin Cotton and Nelson Jenkins and things were really, you know, things were really questionable, you know, in terms of depth on that defensive line. And now it's just so night and day. They're taking more guys, and they're taking athletic defensive linemen, and they're taking guys with length. I think, you know, Bryce Langston, if he can get into school and you know, get here in June, you know, he's going to be one that is going to be able to maybe push for a little bit of playing time, kind of like Jaquelin Roy did as a freshman. Then you have the Savion Jones, and Landon Jackson is here, but, you know, he's still coming back from an injury. But all indications are, you know, the light will eventually come on for him just when he gets back and ready and at full health. Then you've got some size like Eric Taylor in the 2020 class, and you still have some of the longer guys like, you know, Desmond Little, kind of an underrated last add. If he can put it all together off the edge, they just have so much more depth. I'm interested to see who takes whose job. It's a clean slate under Andre Carter. Ed Ogeron is obviously there and knows a lot of these guys, but I just feel like Andre Carter is going to demand so much competitiveness, so much effort and energy and high motor guys that who knows? Who knows what this defensive line could look like entering spring with the four returning starters versus what it looks like when they cap their regular season next year.
Yeah, and hitting on the young guys pushing the older guys at the defensive tackle position. You know, I think we're going to see that also at the defensive end position. Once Landon Jones gets fully healthy, you got Savion Jones coming in this summer. It's going to be interesting to see what Xavier Carter, you know, where he finally ends up at, what his body grows into and kind of will dictate where he plays at. But man, I tell you what, everybody talks about BJ Ojulari, and for good reason. I mean, he had four sacks last year as a true freshman. But man, the guy that I am so and Ali Gay too, you know, he's another one that everybody talks about. Man, the guy that I am so pumped about seeing is Andre Anthony. I'm anxious to see if he takes how he played last year, where he led the team with 5.5 sacks. If he takes that up another notch, you know, does he log 9.5, 10.5 sacks this year? Because when you look at everything that kid's overcome, you know, he was a guy that couldn't play as a true freshman because the NCAA absolutely screwed him big time by, you know, and he's a guy who always made good grades, but because he transferred from one school, from, I think it was, I can't think of the school that he transferred from now, but it closed down. So the NCAA couldn't verify his records from a fresh from his freshman year after he got over to Edna Carr. And so that's why he had to sit out that year. And it turned out that that's good for LSU because it allowed him to get bigger. It allowed him to get stronger. But then just the leader that he's becoming on the field, off the field. I mean, that's just one of those feel-good stories that you really don't, you know, that people don't really talk about enough, in my opinion. And if he continues to kick that game up another couple of notches, I think he really has a chance to play his way into being a nice draft pick next year.
Yeah, I'll fill you in.
Miller McCoy. That's it.
The only reason why I know that is that whole controversy thing was in full swing right when I got down to Baton Rouge to start covering LSU. So it's ingrained in my memory. Miller McCoy.
I was thinking an M, but for some reason McDonough 35 was come off my tongue. I was like, okay, McDonough 35. There would be all kind of anarchy if they tried to close McDonough 35 in New Orleans. But yeah, Miller McCoy, because that's it. Thank you for that.
Dude. Yep.
You don't make me make me feel like You're my welcome. Dementia is really not as bad as I think it could be.
No, don't worry about it. Hey, with as many players as you've watched through the years, Sonny, you know, I mean, they all just start running together eventually, right?
I'll probably never mention Miller McCoy again after this. That will probably be the last time in our career.
It's easier that way. Yeah, Andre Anthony, such a good guy to sit down and talk with, too, whenever we get media opportunities with him. You can tell he really cares. He loves being at LSU and had a really nice season last year for the Tigers with, you know, 5.5 tackles for loss on the year and 5.5 sacks as well. So can he build off of that? If he does, I'm with you. I think he could end up being a really, you know, underrated surprise from this group. He's obviously a starter coming back, but maybe he parlays that into a nice little NFL career. Who will end on this? Who's your one player that you've got to see a big spring from out of this group?
You know, I think a guy that you look at and you say, okay, it's kind of now or never for him. You know, Sony Finneau is a guy for me that you look at and you say, okay, if he doesn't have if he doesn't work his way up the depth chart to where he starts getting more playing time, is he a guy that you could potentially see in the transfer portal after this year? And while it's nice to have all the depth that LSU has on the defensive line, we have to remember that a lot of it is unproven, you know, especially at the defensive end position, because we're already looking at these guys and like a Landon Jackson, like a Savion Jones. Well, we know how hard it is to come in and play as a true freshman. And so Sony Finneau is a guy for me that when we were going through and we were looking at the defensive line depth, you know, you want to make sure that you get everyone listed, that you're looking at everyone. And he was a guy that when I got to him, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He's still there. And whenever that crosses your mind or whenever you kind of look at that, you know, then you go back and then you look at it, you say, okay, you know, this guy has, you know, he came to LSU to play football. He's not really playing a whole lot of football. And so, you know, how long will he go that route? You know, how long will he, you know, will he look at it from the situation of not doing what so many of these kids do when they aren't getting a lot of playing time, when things aren't going as well as they would like, and they do, you know, and they do what seems to be the, you know, the catchy thing now, which is, okay, well, I'm just going to bolt. I'm just going to go somewhere else. Another guy is Joseph Evans. And it's because where does he play at? You know, we saw him play on the defensive line last year. We saw him do some nice things. He never really exploded onto the scene or anything, but he was a guy that Ed Orgeron just talked up so much as an offensive lineman, talked up so much as a defensive lineman. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, you've got Logan Farrell back. You've got Roy, who really, you know, who I think is just primed to have a breakout season. You've got Mason Smith coming in. You got Jacoby and Guillory coming in. You got Eric Taylor also there too. You know, another 6'4", 300-plus pounder on the interior of that defensive line. And so, you know, do they look at Joseph Evans as a guy that says, okay, we're not, you know, we're not completely, you know, completely satisfied with what we got out of Chasen Hines last year. So then let's look at some, you know, let's look at some other options on the interior of that offensive line. You know, so does Joseph Evans kind of continue to flip flop in their mind the way that he, you know, the way that he has throughout the, you know, really, I mean, he's only a sophomore entering this season. So, I mean, still got a lot of football left to play in him. But those two guys are probably the ones that I look at that say, okay, you know, it's time for them to kind of make a mark. You know, not necessarily a big mark, but to make some sort of mark.
Yeah, those are two really good picks. And if I had Shea on the podcast, I'm sure it'd be Jarrell Cherry being talked up.
Oh, but I couldn't take that away from him.
But, you know, no, I hope Jarrell puts it together. Obviously, he's one of those first guys off the bus type of players. But I'm gonna pin it on one of the starters, Glenn Logan. You know, I think he's got a chance to have a big year. He's talented. We know that. When he has it all together. And, you know, last year, I think like you kind of let off with in the pod, you know, COVID probably hurt him a little bit, you know, being in shape and all that stuff. I think if he can take his play to the next level, one, it shows how far he'll have developed to be able to hold off some of these younger guys who are trying to gun for his job and are certainly talented and showed, you know, for the guys that are already on campus, showed that they could be, you know, players that could make an impact, you know, in flashes. Can they do it, you know, even more now that they've been on the roster a year or two? So I think for me, Glenn Logan is some guy I've got circled. He wasn't disruptive enough last year when he played. I don't think he registered a sack or a tackle for loss, but I'll have to double check on that. So he's got.
I've got that for you, buddy. You know that.
He's yeah. You got me on stats, and I got you on schools.
there you go. Exactly. Exactly.
But
Logan, the only two stops for loss that he got last year came in the season finale against Ole Miss.
There you go. Well, they could have used some stops in that game. So I'm glad
they could have used some stops for that. Yeah. And then, Neil Farrell finished with 1.5 sacks last year. And, I got it right now. One sack last year. It came in the Ole Miss game. So, and then he was another one who did not have – he was not as disruptive, definitely not as disruptive as he needed to be. 2.5 tackles for loss, one against A&M, and then one against Ole Miss. And so, I'm with you. And I think those are two great picks right there. And, you know, and for me, I think that those two guys taking it serious from a conditioning standpoint, being leaders on and off the field, and then getting it done on the field are probably, when you look at the biggest keys for LSU's defense in 2021, you know, I think those two will, you know, you could arguably say, you know, how well LSU does in 2021 on defense could depend on those two guys.
Yep. I completely agree. And we saw at times they were just, you know, there were misalignments all over the defensive line, resulted in big plays. And we can rehash 2020, but we're looking ahead to 2021. So we're gonna go ahead and at least think that they get a little bit better in that regard in 2021. A lot of talent on this defensive line. Sonny, thanks for previewing it. Everyone on the listening to the pod, thanks for listening. Hope everybody has a great start to the week. Spring ball is here. Stick with us on go247.com. Check out our work for just $1 for your first month when you take the monthly subscription, so you could get plenty of spring practice coverage almost up until the spring game. And then leave us a rating, leave us a review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to the podcast. Hope everyone has a great week. And spring ball is here, so keep it locked on Go 24/7. Have a good one, everyone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.